Solar energy, the success of the all-sun-powered Solar Impulse airplane notwithstanding, is having a moment these days. The cost of solar panels has dropped by almost 70% over the past 5 years. Financing for fitting residential buildings with solar power has made it an option for more and more Americans. In June, the president pledged that the U.S. would get at least 20% of its electricity from renewable sources by 2030, and he announced a new program this week to bring solar power to more low-income Americans. Who can argue with solar? Low maintenance, no pollution, completely renewable. One of the most radical qualities of solar panels, though, has nothing to do with the sun. They are decentralized point-of-use power sources that, say, the days of the giant centralized power plant, gas-powered, oil-powered, coal-powered, nuclear-powered, even hydro and wind, may be numbered. They certainly have some efficiency problems. And joining us is Amit Ronan, who's director of the George Washington Solar Institute and a former policy analyst with the U.S. Department of Energy. Amit Ronan, welcome to The Takeaway.
Thanks for having me.
Does this explain why utilities are suspicious or concerned about the proliferation of solar energy, in that they really raise this issue of decentralized power, which is not something that's talked about very much?
Well, that's certainly part of the dynamic that's going on. So as you said, solar is having a moment for sure. They were 51% of all the new electric generation that was put online in the first quarter of this year, but they're still only 1% of the U.S. energy supply. But I think we are, as you were indicating, beginning to see a tectonic shift in how we generate and consume electricity. So the price of solar energy has declined so quickly, as you'd mentioned, it's now becoming increasingly competitive, and in many cases cheaper than what it would cost you to buy from your local utility. So that's certainly a threat to this century-old business model that you mentioned, where utilities typically built big centralized facilities. They were powered usually by fossil fuels, coal, natural gas, nuclear in some cases, and then they would wheel that power to you, and you would pay as you use it. So that's a very different model from rooftop solar, where a homeowner can generate power on-site where they use it, and the financing, as you mentioned, is important too, because the homeowner, instead of paying for electricity bit by bit, you're paying a lump sum up front, but then you're getting fuel-free electricity for the next couple decades.
There are all kinds of designs of energy production and energy use that really clash with the traditional notion of Americans that power just comes out of the plug there. It's just a kind of a spigot that we don't really think about where it comes from. I mean, I remember in Japan, they use water heaters that are actually attached to individual faucets or very close to where you use the water. There's no reservoir of hot water in these designs. Are there ways in which we could decentralize our use of power in ways even beyond solar that would reduce our energy use, because the cost of transmission is significant?
That's right. There's certainly a tax and a reduction in efficiency when you transmit over long distances. So rooftop solar or residential solar, or even local larger solar projects are more efficient just from that benefit. And there's lots of technologies that are coming online now that enable a lot of what you're talking about. So we got storage. There was a big announcement that got a lot of splash from Tesla about having people could have their own storage batteries in their basement and maybe disconnect from the grid entirely. So they put power in there when they got excess. If they need it, they pull it away. Right now, most solar people with rooftop solar are effectively using the grid as a giant battery. So that's one example. There's combination hybrid systems where you combine your water heating, which is another big energy user in your home that's not typically related to electricity, combining that. So there's a lot of exciting things going on. And the interesting thing, too, is there's a lot of studies that show that once people are more aware of their electricity use, they become much smarter about it.
Can you change your centralized notions of where energy comes from by using other things than solar? You mentioned hybrid. Are there ways to use generators that actually do use fossil fuels that would increase the efficiency and allow people to come off the grid? Or are fossil fuels, by their nature, centralized power plant options?
Typically, for the fossil fuel model, it's going to be more practical and efficient and cost-effective to use it in a centralized facility. So at-home generators usually are more in maybe an emergency situation, or if there's a reliability in your local region, there are some more efficient units that are coming online where you're essentially a small box in your home could provide your electricity and your hot water in the same power plant, and it's usually powered by natural gas. But more people are looking at options that are renewable because there's obviously a larger push to decarbonize our economy as making a lot more sense.
Can the utilities, because they're suspicious and have expressed some reservations about this, enforce a kind of stay-on-the-grid policy? Can they keep this trend from developing here in the United States?
Well, first, there's a lot of diversity in utilities general. We got 3,000 utilities, but by and large, they certainly are doing all that they can to try and slow this movement to distributed generation. We have a century of existing regulatory and legal regime that all points to the old system, and that makes it hard for new entrants to battle this incumbent system where the centralized model and move away from that. So we're seeing battles, and we have a 50-state electricity policy just by the way that it was developed over time. So we're seeing battles at the state, every state practically right now, particularly where in the solar case where solar penetrations are higher, is that where you see more utilities pushing back, trying to impose additional fees for solar users, all sorts of stuff.
Well, the idea of thinking about where power comes from, getting smarter about power, is certainly one of the trends that's probably not reversible. Amit Ronan, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.